Accusations against the Haynes Borough Clerk are called a vicious witch hunt, and a Skagway committee asked the municipality for senior center funding. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories up next. After a positive start to Tuesday's Haynesboro Assembly meeting, the four-hour session took a turn at the end. Assemblymember George Campbell called Borough Clerk Julie Causey's honesty and ethics into question. The meeting was moments away from adjournment when Campbell expressed his concern. His complaint was about the Assembly's vote last month to hire former legislator Bill Thomas for $45,000 to lobby for the borough without going through the proper channels, Campbell said. He said he's troubled by the fact that then-acting manager Julie Causey said at the December 29th special meeting that she had interviewed Thomas before recommending the Assembly hire him. Here's Causey at that meeting.
The mayor also reviewed the two proposals, and the two of us discussed them before I came up with my recommendation. I also, myself, interviewed Mr. Thomas and attempted to call Denali Daniels, was finally successful today, touching base with her, and she told me that she had planned to contact me anyway to withdraw and put her full support behind Mr. Thomas.
But when Campbell requested a transcript or interview questions from Causey, he was told via email that an interview did not actually happen. On Tuesday, Campbell requested the Assembly go into executive session to discuss, quote, personnel matters, but that motion failed. So the discussion around Causey's interview claim continued. Here's Campbell.
Reading our code, one of the things it says for our borough officers, which our then acting manager, now clerk, is, it discusses integrity, and it discusses dishonesty, and it discusses trust of the public. And I think we've lost all three of that.
Campbell said he was concerned that the borough is in violation of state law. Causey was given the opportunity to explain and said it was an honest miscommunication. She said she did, in fact, speak with Thomas, but did not conduct a formal interview. She added that she did nothing out of the ordinary when it comes to the borough sending out requests for proposals, or RFPs.
Formal interviews involve specific questions and notes, etc. I interviewed, which I spoke with Mr. Thomas and Denali Daniels, asking clarifying questions about their proposals. And I did nothing different than what staff does anytime we receive bids for construction projects or proposals for any other RFPs.
Causey also reminded the Assembly that the decision to hire Thomas was ultimately left up to them, and they could have delayed the vote. The motion to hire Thomas in December was a tie vote, with Mayor Jan Hill breaking in favor of the hire. Assemblymember Mike Case responded to Campbell's accusations. He called the claim a witch hunt.
This is just a vicious witch hunt, and it's very unprincipled.
Campbell replied,
this is a situation where our decisions are only as good as our information.
Assemblymember Diana Lapham also came to Causey's defense, calling Campbell's allegations unfounded.
Every time you have presented Ms. Causey with your accusations, your attacks, she has been able to clarify the air. Now, whether you choose to accept her answers or not is your issue.
Kathy Friedel, an administrative assistant at the borough, spoke during public comment on Causey's behalf.
The comments from Mr. Campbell have been unfounded and are very mean and cruel. And if he had worked with Julie the number of years that I have, he would find that she is a very hard worker, goes above and beyond to meet the needs of the community. And it's just very sad to have an assembly member such as Mr. Campbell representing our community. I'm ashamed to have him as part of our community.
Mayor Hill announced that Causey will have an annual evaluation this spring, as one has not been performed since 2013. Hill said concerns about Causey's work need to be dealt with through performance evaluations and put to rest so the Assembly and staff can move on. A senior center and housing facility is in the works in Skagway, and the group tasked with developing a plan is looking for funding. The project could cost about $7 million. The question now is how much money the municipality is willing to commit. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
On a recent rainy afternoon, Nola Lampkin, Ginny Cochran, and Michael Baish gathered in the Big Dippers building, which serves as a temporary senior center in the winter. The three friends are on the Senior Ad Hoc Committee, which 3 years ago started investigating what it would take to build a permanent senior center in Skagway. Baish is the committee chair.
Dan Selmer appointed us to be an ad hoc mayor's committee to do what we've done. And we think we've done a hell of a good job. And now it's up to the assembly and to the town to say, we'll go here, we'll go there, we'll do this, we'll do that.
In the past year, the committee received a grant for pre-development assistance from the Foraker Group. That included a needs assessment and a financial feasibility study. The needs assessment found that the number of seniors in Skagway is expected to double within 10 years. Right now, there is no senior housing or permanent senior center in the community.
Housing is limited here in the valley, especially for 6 months when the cruise ships are coming. All of a sudden, there's a great demand, and an apartment can be worth triple what it is in the winter. And for people on a fixed income or living on Social Security or whatnot, it's a real burden. And so there is a need for senior housing.
Lampkin says she knows seniors who have left Skagway because they can't find affordable housing.
There have been people who have to go outside away from friends and family.
With an aging population and few existing amenities, the assessment did identify a need for senior services. The next step was to determine the scope and cost of the project. At a recent meeting, the committee received a feasibility study from their consultants. It estimates the total development cost for the senior center is $2.6 million. For 7 senior apartments on top of the center, it's $4.2 million. Built together, the senior center with housing would cost about $7 million. The building would be located at a site donated by the city on 11th and Broadway. Here are a few more details from the study. The 7 senior apartments would include 3 market rate rentals and 4 reduced rent apartments for low-income seniors. The apartments could be self-sustaining, but the senior center would need to be subsidized each year at a cost between $66,000 and $120,000. Now, the committee needs to find out where they can get funding, so they're going to the Borough Assembly.
Before we go any further, we need to find out what our funding potential is.
The senior center request is happening during a time when Skagway government officials are wringing their hands about the long list of expensive capital projects on the horizon. They include the public safety facility, a recreation center expansion, and renovations to State Street. But the senior committee members say they've only heard positive things from borough officials so far. And Ginny Cochran says,
I like to remind the assembly members that we hope that they will make it to become a senior citizen, and they would be able to take advantage of what we're getting in place for them.
For Baish, it comes down to this.
We need a place. We're about the only small town of our size or even smaller in Alaska that does not have a senior facility.
The Borough Assembly is set to discuss the senior center at a meeting February 4th. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Emily Files.
The International Pacific Halibut Commission is deciding catch limits and other regulations for commercial, sport, and subsistence fisheries this week in Juneau. The commission manages fishing and research on the valuable bottom fish from Alaska to California. IPHC scientist Ian Stewart this week presented some more optimistic news on the status of halibut.
The stock appears to be stabilizing at a coastwide level. And the more years that we've seen this play out, the more certain we become of that.
Stewart reported on one particular bright spot in the Bering Sea area. He said that was due to an increased estimate of abundance and a decrease in the halibut catch as bycatch in other fisheries there. In the Bering Sea, much of the bycatch has been from trawlers or hook and line vessels targeting other species like Pacific cod or arrowtooth flounder. In total, 42 million pounds of halibut were caught, killed, or otherwise removed from the water last year coastwide. Of that, 7.8 million pounds was bycatch, a 13% decrease from the year before. Still, one commenter noted that 70% of the halibut being killed in the eastern Bering Sea is still killed as bycatch, not in the directed longline fishery or sport fishery. As for catch limits for the upcoming year, staff presented the commission with a table of possible harvest levels applied to different areas. Commissioners will decide on those levels on Friday, along with the season's start and end. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.